This is Renovating Masculinity. Man, get off your dang phone.
I'm not on my phone. You're on your phone. Get off your phone.
I'm not on my phone.
You're on your phone.
Always on your phone.
No, not.
Like a teenage girl.
No, not. No, not true.
How you doing, man?
I'm real good, man. I am off next couple of days, and then I am on the downslide going towards vacation. So this is getting to feel real good, man.
Man, I'm leaving tomorrow.
I know. You're show off.
I'm gone.
And you're going to the favorite place, to
Absolutely.
The beach.
Absolutely.
It's the only vacation I ever come back from rested.
Yeah.
Every other one, I'm too busy trying to see something or do something. The beach, not so much.
Nah, we take, you know, we take 10 days minimum.
Yeah.
But try to take a full 2 weeks off. It's just, yeah, it takes me 3 or 4 days just to decompress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I don't stop calling until like, what, day five? So it's...
I don't know. I don't take my phone. You can call all you want.
Oh, wow.
Hey, so last night we were visiting.
Yeah, what were we?
We were visiting.
Oh, okay.
And we had a friend with us and we were visiting. And
yeah.
We were partaking of our favorite smoke, I guess. No, that's not the way to say that. No, we were visiting and having a good time. And man, you said something, and I stopped you, and I said, "Okay, that I never knew that," because you were kind of telling your story a little bit,
which I haven't ever told even on here.
So, okay, give a brief overview.
Nope.
Of okay, I'll do it.
No, so, that's for Patreon, bro. You gotta put your quarter in the machine to get that, dude.
So you have said so. You did spend a little time behind the Gray Bar Motel.
On numerous occasions, I am very familiar with what it feels like to not be free. We'll just say it like that.
Oh, okay. That's a kind way to say it.
I'm working on my political chops.
Yeah, that's good. So you have spent some time behind bars.
What did you say? The gray iron motel?
The Gray Bar Motel.
Dude, I have never heard that.
Good. So
Gray Bar
You were talking about that. And,
yeah.
And you said...
Yeah.
There's a difference. You know there's a difference between convicts and inmates.
Yeah.
And I've never heard this.
Yeah.
So, like you said last night, tell me what the difference is.
While we're talking about being locked up, I mean, there was another piece of trivia I added before that. I told you that some of the biggest fights when people are locked up or in jail, they happen behind a couple of things. One is people not taking care of the restroom and somebody having to go in there behind them. And the other was... the big group can agree with what needs to be on the TV.
Yeah.
Those were the two things. So that's another piece of a Gray Bar Motel.
Gray Bar Motel.
Trivia.
So really, but if you change the channel, it could change your life.
It could freaking end your life.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm serious, man. Some of the greatest disagreements, they happen around those two things.
Wow.
It's just, but because every little piece of thing that you can control when nothing is in your control becomes very important.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
So, but to answer your question, so I don't even know how we really got on this but it was just an errant remark. And I forget that some people haven't heard some of this stuff. So I'm just talking and I breeze past it. But I mentioned to you that when people are in jail, that there is this thing that people want to distinguish themselves in two different ways. One is I am an inmate, or you are inmate more so. And then I am a convict. So there's this group that is locked up or has been in jail or in trouble with the law that they refer to themselves as convicts. And in the hierarchy of things, they feel like jail is their home, like they run it.
Right.
They put systems and policies in place and what they say matters. Then you have this other group of people that may make some minuscule mistake and end up locked up. It's not really their lifestyle, or they get in some trouble, or the amount of time that they're going to have to do is very small compared to these other guys. And the convicts refer to them as inmates. And an inmate is somebody that's in there. You're trying to do your time. You're hoping to get out. You got a family. You're trying to be better. You're not trying to have any kind of infraction. Like when it's time to go to bed, you want to go to bed. When it's time to do XYZ, go to a job or get some education, you do all the small minutia because you're like, this could affect me getting out.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a convict, if they wake up and all of a sudden They don't want to do X. They just don't do X because they don't care about the consequence. And this is, I'm boiling this down to something very simplistic. It's so much wider than this. But when I told you that, you thought that that was pretty unique, that even in this situation, people are separating themselves out in different ways. And once I gave you the description, you was like, man, let's talk about that as it relates to manhood and marriage and those kinds of things.
Yeah. And like, this is our conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've not hashed this out.
Yeah, not at all, man. I walk in today and I'm like, dude, so what are we going to actually talk about? And he goes, we made that decision last night. And I'm like, no, we didn't. We made a great puff of smoke when we had that great cigar last night, but we didn't discuss anything. But, you know, such is such.
But this is, look, this is the model that we want to show. That
authenticity.
Yeah, sit down, have a conversation, yeah. Hash it out. Yeah. It doesn't mean you're right or wrong. Yeah. You're just hashing it out.
Having a conversation.
But I did think, man, wonder how many guys can, because you don't have to go to prison to feel the weight of that, or look at it and say, where at in my life, am I an inmate or am I a convict? Like in marriage, meaning, am I an inmate where, yeah, I'm going to make some mistakes, I'm gonna say some dumb things, yeah. I'm not going to do some stuff I should do.
And you're probably going to really get convicted without a jury or a judge.
you have a judge and jury. But it's like, I'm going to learn my lesson and I'm going to move on.
Yeah. How do I do what I need to do to progress from this thing?
Yeah.
And turn the negative into a positive.
Correct.
Right.
Or am I going to just keep, as we say, keep going around this mountain?
I'm
going
to do what I want to do because it feels good with me. I've got my own set of rules and I don't really care how it impacts me, you know, in the future. I know where I'm going.
And you only think that it impacts you.
Right.
That's
good.
Yeah, that's what you're concerned about.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not the impact of others.
And it's prideful because you're concerned about your reputation. You're concerned about what others around you are watching and seeing and what you're allowing and what you're not submitting to. All those kinds of things are going into the convict kind of mindset.
Yeah. It made me think of myself. I did. When I got home, I was kind of thinking, what areas am I a convict in the sense of I don't care.
Yeah.
What you're the consequences are
right now, like you're thinking through it. You're like, yeah, I guess I really don't care.
I mean, and the first one that comes to my mind is health, because sometimes we make, not we, I'm just going to keep it personal. I'll make decisions like, I know I need to go to the gym. I don't care. I'm not going. I don't care what the consequences
is. Yeah, it's not important enough for me today.
It's not important. Or, you know, even marriage, you know, some issues. Do I have the same issues with my wife that I've had for years?
Yeah.
Right. Or have I grown past that?
Well, yeah.
I mean, I think both. I think we can all look at our marriage and think, well, I'm in both categories at that point. And I did tell you, it's like, you know, but the inmate, since we're using this, is really the only one that becomes a free man, really.
Yeah, because I was concerned. I'm like, JT, I don't know that I want to talk about it, you know, in this way, because neither one of them are good.
Yeah.
Like, they both had an infraction. They both broke the law. They both are taken away from their families or carrying a cost of what they've done. So how do we distinguish? And he said, but one is intent on becoming a free man.
Or growing.
Growing.
Yeah.
Into a free man. And I'm like, I can agree with that.
Yeah. Because, again, I think if I look at it, my own personal, I mean, there are just some areas that I want to grow and I pay the price to grow. And then there's areas that I don't know if it's a value call. It probably is, because that's what I would say to myself. You know, it's just not a value call. You don't value it enough to discipline yourself, right? Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, frankly, maybe I'm putting my feelings or my wants, feelings are not good, my wants and desires higher than my wife's feelings, her wants and her desires.
Yeah.
And I'm going, well, I mean, it may cost me. Okay. I'll do it anyway.
I'll live with that.
Yeah. And I just wonder how many guys settle for that. Because I know where it leads. And that's the thing. I know, you know, where a life of crime, if you continue to do it, will always lead back to the same place.
Right.
And like, I was talking to a gentleman the other day about his marriage, and he decided that he wants a divorce. And I've watched this progression over time, and I'm not putting blame anywhere, him, her, whoever.
Sure.
I'm saying I've watched this cycle of him always being a convict, always returning back to the same behavior, maybe stayed out a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But he would always return back but it wouldn't take long. Once you return back, it didn't take long for him to be back in the same place.
It's so interesting, man, that, you know, having not thought about this as it relates to anything, just hearing you sit here and talk about it, I'm like, okay, I kind of get it because, you know, I know a little bit about the circumstance that you're talking about too. And you get to this place where you go, well, this is just kind of how I am. This is kind of what I want to do. This is kind of what I'm going to allow to be done or said to me. So I'm going to do all the activities and behavior that are going to make it most comfortable for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what I'm going to do. If it doesn't ultimately get me, say, free, great. But I'm going to stand by my convictions. I'm going to stand by being a man. I'm going to stand by my pride. I'm going to stand by all these other things. And the reality is you are literally giving up your freedom to have this measure of freedom to behave the way that you want to behave. And it's just weird.
Yeah. And I would say you would have, is it really freedom then at that point? Because it is a taste of, but it's not
perceived.
Yeah. It's not a free man. Again, going back to this situation, what's going to happen is he's going to divorce and then he's going to be bound to something that he didn't understand. And no matter how much I've told him.
Sure.
This is what's coming. Because I've, again, at this point, I've met, I don't know, hundreds of guys through my life and walked people through divorce, walked people through some circumstances. And the ones that give up are in the cycle of, we call it binge purge, right? They binge on something, then they purge themselves. I get caught up in this activity, and it's like binge watching on Netflix. Going to binge, and then it's like, man, I'm sick of TV.
So you know? Define the binge. What's the binge?
Binge meaning like,
what's the guy doing when he's binging? What in your head when you're saying he's binging? His behavior. Is this when he's trying to be good? Like do things to bring peace? Is that his binge?
I would say this is things that harm you. So like pornography.
Okay.
You can go on a binge where you can tell yourself, you know, I'm not going to watch pornography. Then you watch it. Then because you watch it one time, you go, well, I might as well keep watching it.
Gotcha.
So you binge it. And then you get guilt, shame, wisdom, clarity, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And you go, now I'm going to purge myself of this.
I'm going to do better.
And I'm going to do better. And we get into that. That's an addiction term, that binge purge. But you can use it on all your aspects of life. You can say, man, I really binge this until I get sick of it, because you're going to get sick of everything if you binge on it.
Yeah.
Good or bad. Now think about that. We will always get bored with whatever we're doing, even if it's, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then you purge it because you want to free yourself from it. It's like, okay, I got to change. I got to change up something. It's like, if you keep eating, you binge.
Yeah.
Right. And so let's say you go for 3 weeks and you just say, I don't care what I eat on it. And then you get on the scale and you're all of a sudden 15 pounds heavier. And you, what do? You go, okay, I'm going to.
You starve yourself.
Yeah. I got to stop this. And I'm going to go to eating one meal a day and I'm going to, then you try to start purging that out. It never works, because to me, that's a convict mindset.
Yeah.
Going back to the term we're using, where I would think that an inmate would learn from his mistake and not ever make that mistake again. And, you know, because he wants to stay free from the gray bar motel, whatever has his physical body imprisoned. But I think for a lot of guys, it's whatever has their mind imprisoned.
Yeah. So right now I'm reading a book and it's called People Problems. And my therapist gave it to me. I'm just having so much fun just saying. I've waited for years to be able to just go, and my therapist.
My therapist.
So my therapist, he gave me this book and he wrote it. So I know that I've mentioned before that I used to be in like the entertainment, like a rapper, hip hop industry.
You know, and on the Patreon, if we ever do that or on something, you're going to have to come up with a rap.
Would love it. I got plenty of them just in my head, just from old school. But anyway, you know, there was a time, man, that you would meet people and people would meet you and they feel like that they have an opportunity by meeting you and they want to hand you a tape, you know. And so you go back and you listen to it, man, and you're hoping that you never see them again because you don't want to have to lie about how bad it was. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm in with my therapist and I like this guy. And then all of a sudden he's talking about this book and I go, oh, my gosh, he's giving me a tape. and I'm going to have to go home and pretend like it was so good. And I get home and I start reading and I go, man, I'm actually not going to have to lie to this guy because this book is good. So on my next session, I went in and I told him that, and he busted out laughing. I said, because I was completely prepared to come in and lie to you and tell you how good your book was. But anyway, all of that to say this, you know, I was telling somebody today, and I talking to the men in our group, and I said, I think that I'm an intelligent person, but I'm reading this book.
I would verify that you think that.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that. I absolutely do. Like, without any shadow of a doubt, I think it. I could be completely wrong. But, and I was just explaining to them, man, that having said that, there are things that I'm reading in this book that I'm learning, and I've actually tried a few, and they are productive and helpful within my relationships. But as I read the book, I find that I know about 80% of what I'm reading, but I have never actually attempted to put it to work. Like, intuitively, I know a lot of this stuff, and I know that it's going to be profitable, and I know that it's going to give me the result in my relationships that I'm hoping for, but I just don't bother to try them. And I said, man, that to me is really, really stupid. You can have information and understanding and actually belief in a thing, but not do it. And I said, I wonder, why is that? Why in these areas, some areas that I'm refusing to be an inmate and learn and get better and progress on and strike for freedom, I'm okay staying over here in this mindset, even though I think that it's going to be profitable for me to do it, I won't do it. And that's a real question that I'm asking myself right now. Mm. And I was asking the men in the Facebook group, you know, just why is it that we get within these marriages or these, you know, specific relationships, even a boss and a leader or whatever that relationship is. And we can see, man, that there are some ways and actions and behaviors and concessions that we could do or make that would make it more profitable. But there is some kind of thing in us that refuses to do it. And I know that it's tied to pride somehow.
Yeah. No, I think it is tied to pride for sure. And maybe, again, just thinking this through, maybe it's a comfort level. Because a lot of people will keep doing the same behavior, even though it's harmful, because it's comfortable and they at least they know it.
Yeah.
It's like the, and you've heard the battered woman, right? Why would she stay in that relationship? Because she could go to another relationship that's worse. But
the
so
devil,
she knows,
the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know or something. Isn't that what people say?
I don't know any devil, so I'm, I don't even know. I mean, I know you know all kinds of devils. So,
Wow. Thanks, man. You know, if we're talking about marriage, man, I wonder what is the number one thing that's at the root of marital difficulties. It's very cliche, in my opinion, what people always say. But when I ask you that, what's at the root, the number one thing in marital disruption? What do you think it is?
The number one thing in marital disruption.
Yeah, causing all the garbage, all the problems, all the arguments, all the hurt feelings and all that stuff.
Oh, man, that's a loaded question, because I don't know if it is just one thing. I know that...
Think about what I said. It's very cliche.
Yeah, I know that pride, I know that self-preservation and blame.
Yeah.
Not taking personal responsibility. Those three are huge.
Yeah.
Because I can point to even my own... I mean, I've been married 31 years, and still, I mean, I still have things that I can pinpoint to one of those three in me that... causes a disruption in my house.
Well, try this on. Almost every professional that you go and see about relational issues, the first thing that they start talking to you about is communication.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Okay.
Poor communication skills. And like, it sounds so familiar that you go, there's no way that it actually, everything does not track back to this. It just, there's no way that it can. But there's sometimes, man, that in my household, I might have a disruption with my wife and we're angry at each other over something. And it's always because of what was perceived to be said, what wasn't said, what I thought I said out loud that I was thinking in my head that would have explained what I actually did say out loud. I mean, it's just all these techniques. And then, you know, we get our buttons pushed And so we don't respond, we react, which pushes the button in the other person. And so then you're playing ping pong, emotional ping pong. You're just pushing each other's buttons, not intentionally, but that's what ends up happening. But I'm a big fan now of this whole idea that communication. So I've been taking a breath sometimes when I feel it going off track, and I just go, how can I better communicate what I'm about to say? And this is one of those convict mindsets, because a convict mindset is, I'm going to say what I mean, like I want to say it, like what is most comfortable for me, and deal with whatever the consequences are.
Wow.
But the other mindset is, well, that didn't work so good last time. How about I say it this way, or make an effort to take the other person into consideration? Again, marriage, friendship, relationships, strangers, traffic, all
watch
of it.
Watch out now. Now you're going to meddling now.
I'm digging in yours. But just think about that. What about that, man? Communication. I mean, I just can track back to so much just faulty or careless or lazy communication that has led to arguments in my house.
Yeah. And I'm going to go back to my original, because I think that comes back to pride.
Yeah.
Either I don't have to communicate, I shouldn't have to communicate, I shouldn't have to over-communicate.
Ooh.
You know, those.
I said what I said.
Yeah, I said what I said, deal with it. I think it is. I think lack of communication, and again, talking to myself, is probably a pride issue.
Yeah.
Is because I know one thing for me, I don't like repeating myself. So I have this thought in my head, if I say it, and I say it clearly, and I've taken the time to articulate it, communicate it, then I'm a one and done.
Get it.
That's why I'm a UK fan right there. I'm a one and done. I would say I'm trying to be efficient, but it's really pride.
It is.
Because I'm putting something before the relationship.
Yeah.
And that doesn't typically work out well. And that could be friendship, marriage.
Yeah.
You know, that's because, you know, it's funny, man, how we have so much grace for our buddies. And man, because we can jab and we can, you know, we can really over communicate.
Yeah.
People say that men don't talk, and I'm like, man, just hang out with me for a week. I'll tear every stereotype of that down. But it's when we get with our spouses or somebody that's, I don't know, that we're intimately close with.
Yeah.
It seems like it gets on our nerves more than it does just dudes hanging out that we can literally talk about anything.
Man, I'm going to expose some dirty laundry. You know I'm prone to this. Anyway, but so I have a 22-year-old son, and we are all getting ready to go on a pretty extended vacation. And my wife's been planning it for some time. And he tells us today that he's got this thing going on the day before that puts in jeopardy him being on time the next day to start this extended planned vacation that he's been knowing about forever.
Brother, already coming up with an excuse.
So he's telling me, he's calling today going, man, I don't know why I didn't, you know, discuss this earlier. And I didn't know how to say it. And I go, you figure out a way to say exactly everything that you want to say around here when you want to say it. So I don't want to hear that.
Right.
You didn't want to discuss it because you didn't know how you could win it, or you didn't know how you were going to be able to justify it. Maybe that, I believe, if you wanted to be honest. So anyway, it causes a little bit of a riff, and I'm trying to sit there and talk to him and explain to him why I feel the way I do. And man, some of this new stuff that I'm learning really just kicked in from nowhere. And I go, but let me slow down and give you a minute to really explain to me all of the details before I make an, you know, assessment. And so that was helpful. And I think that that's helpful as we're having these exchanges with each other. I mean, it's the number one thing that causes all these Twitter fights. Nobody's really trying to understand what the other person meant. They tag onto a word or some segment of the sentence and then go crazy on that. So I just thought that that was pretty cool today. So anyway, I give him an opportunity and he goes, okay, let me call you back. So we don't leave the phone call angry, and I'm not fussing at him or telling him that's stupid. You know, we leave the conversation, you know, in peace.
Yeah.
And so we're better able to both, for me, I'm better able to begin to process it. So the next time we further the discussion, I'm not already wound up and ready to check him up and all this stuff, because in my heart, it feels like selfishness, but I want to give him the opportunity to think through it himself and maybe come to that conclusion, or either be able to explain it to me better. You know?
Yeah. And I think, again, back to where we started, that is, since we're using these terms, an inmate mentality of I want not just me to grow, but others to grow.
Right.
Because if I'm a convict, I actually don't care about your growth.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't affect me at all.
Right.
Zero.
Yeah.
What affects me is what I want. And I want what I want when I want it.
Yeah.
And so I get that was my thought when you said that last night. And as I've been mulling it over today, is what areas in my life do I have the right mentality that I want to be a free man from it? I want to be a free man from this, what has got, again, my mind imprisoned. What thoughts have me bound, you know, that again, an honest assessment to sit back and go, am I repeating things all the time that do me harm? Or they may not do me harm, but they're doing the people that I love harm. And is that unintentional or is that intentional on my part? These are just questions that we have to ask ourselves because nobody wants to think of themselves as, you know, doing something to harm somebody else.
Yeah.
But yet we do. And I think most of it's subliminal. I mean, I don't want to get into that. That's a rabbit trail because I love that stuff. But going back to our friend, I mean, I think that he made decisions knowing it was going to do harm to his wife. But I think that he also made some decisions that he didn't realize what was going to happen and the harm that it would bring to him and his wife and his kids.
One person in the marriage seems to always get to this point when things are going poorly and nobody's really willing to move past what's normal. They get to this point where they go, man, I'm tired of fighting.
Yeah.
For the marriage, with the other person, just all of it. I'm tired of fighting. So rather than going, I'm going to stop fighting and now I'm going to start doing the hard work, most people go, I'm tired of fighting, so I'm just going to abdicate.
Yeah.
I'm going to disappear in this relationship. I'm going to find my own peace, find my own joy, and just let it diminish and go down and just get poorer and poorer. And that's kind of, you know, and he's been very honest, is that's where he is.
Yeah.
So just even in your own lives, man, I mean, if you feel yourself beginning to have that kind of self-talk, I mean, that's a pretty dangerous spot to be when you've gotten to the place where you just go, I'm not going to even try.
Yeah. Because, again, there's a trade-off you're doing, right? It's like, I'm not going to try anymore because I want peace, or I just don't want to fight. So I'm just going to give up, not realizing that it's going to be much harder on the other side of that decision. You just can't think of it. It's like, I tell guys, you're not thinking clearly, because they're not. You're not thinking clearly. So if you're not thinking clearly, listen to someone who is, because it will keep you out of trouble. And I know it doesn't seem like it's the right. It's like going to a trainer or going to a therapist. It's like, if you will just do and use the tools that they give you, even though it may hurt, even though it's not comfortable, even though it's not what your brain is saying, this can't be right. This cannot help me.
Yeah.
But yet you have a trainer or a therapist that has done this hundreds of times and has seen different kinds of results, and they've tweaked, you know, what they do to help you actually get better faster, or maybe not faster, more quality maybe. But yet we don't, we get so bound up in what our perceived truth is that we just don't listen. And I think that's that mentality that we get into and we go, how did I get here? And that's what happens almost every single time.
Yeah.
You'll be by yourself, nobody around, and you'll just look around, because that's when you're honest. You've heard me say 1,000 times, every man's got to lay his head on his pillow at night.
Yeah.
And all he has is himself and his thoughts. And he's got to work that out. And he's got to be honest with himself there and go, what am I doing? How did I get here? What's the decisions that I made? Could I have changed any of those decisions and had a different outcome?
Yeah.
Did I really push her to this point? I mean, I've talked to guys that their wives have cheated on them and looked them dead in the face and go, you pushed her to this point. Now, you didn't make the decision for her. That's on her. But you pushed her to this point by doing this, doing this, doing this, not doing this, not doing this, not doing this, after she asked you time and time and time and time again.
So do you feel like a woman can do that same thing? Can a woman push that man to do the same thing?
Sure. Absolutely. It goes both ways.
Because that's going to come up.
Sure.
Behind that statement that you said, well, she can do the same thing, and she can.
She can do the same thing, but nobody makes the decision for you.
Right.
You do that yourself. So, again, this mentality that I really did love, it was really a picture, word picture for me, is whatever I'm doing, whatever guys you're doing that's listening to this, take, again, an honest assessment of yourself. And where do I have a convict mentality? And where do I have an inmate mentality? Because the inmate is going, I'm going to be free one day, so I better follow these guidelines and these rules.
Get there as fast as possible. Yeah,
so there's no time added to what I'm in right now. And look, you could be an inmate for 10 years, right? You could be in for whatever the cost of what you did is. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But you can also get out for what?
Good behavior. Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Just it's like, okay, if I do the right thing, honestly, grace comes faster from people that they know that you're doing your best.
Yeah. You know, and since we're talking about communication, I'm just thinking about how we get frustrated because we're trying and we're working these things and we're being thoughtful about our conversation. But, you know, when I really think about communication, I wonder what percentage of the time are we actually being thoughtful about the way that we communicate? So whatever that number is.
Yeah, I think it depends on what you want out of the outcome.
Yeah.
You'll be real thoughtful if you're talking to your boss or your leader and you know that a raise is on the line. You'll be super thoughtful, super clear.
Yeah.
Right?
Intentional.
Smile on your face. But man, get your spouse in front of you, and it's short. It's you should just listen. You should just, you know, you don't ever do this. Well, you never do that. Well, you never listen. Well, you don't change. Well, I don't change. Well, your mama don't change. I mean, you know, you just get into. But man, so I think it depends on what the outcome is you want.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about this situation, man, and I'm like, I'm just curious because communication is a big problem in this particular situation that you brought up earlier.
Yeah,
and. You know, even if that, and it's not in any of our lives, you know, even if that number was 95% of the time, you know, I communicate well and thoughtfully and all those things. And then you look over at the 5%, anytime somebody looks into that 5% and goes, look at that. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's 5% that's jacked up or 50%. That's jacked up. It never feels like it's legitimate. It never feels like it's okay for somebody to point to it because you're saying, well, I'm working on this over here. I'm working on this. Or it's never legitimate for this behavior or a way or style of conversation to have an effect on somebody, no matter how few times it might happen in a given year. Every time it's pointed to, it still feels like this strong accusation. Mm-hmm. Like it just discounts all the other good stuff that you've done. And how do we get around that?
Tim, is a great question.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. And that's what we have to think about, man, when we're getting triggered in these moments. You go, well, because that is something that we preach that song to ourselves all the time. Hey, I'm working on this. I'm working on that. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And then the minute that we say something or something curious or behave in a way and it upsets somebody that we're in relationship with and we don't understand because we go, man, I should have money in the bank. I'm trying a lot.
Right.
But it honestly, man, emotions and feelings, they're not reliable, one.
Right.
Like you can feel and have any kind of emotion about anything. They should be looked at, appreciated, and honored, but you can't call them the truth.
Correct.
And so we have to just understand that when it triggers something, one of those emotions or something in other people, it's not necessarily saying something about us because that's what we think it says.
Yeah.
But it more so says something about where that person is. And in a moment like that, and this is hard, and I try to do it and I fail most of the times, we can ask ourselves a question. What is it that just triggered that reaction?
Yeah.
And it'll give us some grace and mercy in those moments, especially when we're dealing with people that we love or have strong relationship with, man.
Yeah. And I would say just give people that are standing in front of you the grace that you give yourself. Because, you know, the old adage, we want to judge people based on their actions, but we want to be judged based on our intentions.
Yeah.
And again, that's a whole mental mindset that goes back to what we started. Is it a, you know, that's a very convict kind of mindset. because it's that pride. Man, you did this to me. You did that. You were late. You know, because you don't value me, you know. No, you know, they hit a dog on the way and had to stop, you know, whatever the excuse
is. Or they have poor time management.
Yeah, but we want to judge them based on something they did, and we want to be judged based on something we, our intention. I think, again, if in a communication, what you're talking about, if we would treat people that way, giving them the benefit, what do I say all the time? People's intentions are their highest good according to their current level of awareness.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I would just do that with my spouse or the people that are closest to me that I bite their heads off the quickest, it would probably go a long way in our communication and in our relationship. But we just, for some reason, we just don't choose it. I said this in an earlier podcast. I had a friend at Lewis Upkins. He wrote a book called Treat Me Like a Client. Mm. And it was, I think that's the name of it. I may have gotten that. But that's
if it's
the
not,
gist
it's
of
still
it.
Pretty
that's,
good.
That's the gist of it.
Yeah.
Treat Me Like a Client. And he wrote it. It's kind of in marriage that the wife's saying, won't, if you would just treat me like you do a client, if you would communicate like you do to a client, we would be better.
Dude.
No, it's great.
Bro.
It's a great, well, we can have Lewis on sometime, but to talk about it. But it's that concept though, that we, the people closest to us, we treat the worst sometimes, yeah. Not all the time, but,
yeah. Some,
but we would never treat, we have so much grace for clients. Like, they can make mistake after mistake after mistake, and hardly ever do you go, well, you're just not going to be my client anymore because you're making money off of them, right? Because they're, I mean, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, you're, that there's a value because there's income. But I think, you know, again, having that mindset of income, money, okay, but what about income and emotional health, mental health with my spouse?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. And again, I'm just thinking this off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So.
That's great, though, man. Jeez.
But like we said, guys, I'm going to land this plane.
Yeah.
Check your life. Just do an assessment. And where do you have the mindsets of a convict? As Anthony explained it, I don't care. You can add a month on because this is just my way of doing things. And I'm going to be back here again. Because you even said a convict could get out.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to be back.
Yeah, he knows he's coming back.
He knows he's coming back. So
it's just how long will it take me?
Right. Or the inmate is, I did something wrong.
Yeah. I really don't want to come back.
I don't want to come back here.
Mm-hmm.
So what steps do I need to take to not be back? And those steps are usually rethink, right? This is our old, you have to rethink what got you here, remove those thoughts, and then you have to replace them with something new. And that is the process of a renovation.
Yeah.
Rethink it, remove it, and replace it with new. And I think if we would do that and do it, and again, we've said this before, if you don't know of anything, just go ask your spouse. They'll be glad to tell you. Your wife will be glad to tell you areas that you need improvement on.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to communication, especially when it comes to cycles, because she'll see the cycle.
Yeah.
I know my wife can see. I mean, she can probably pinpoint how I'm going to respond by the look on my face.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you don't know, ask them, because this is a part, and it's a big part, and it's an ongoing part, and it never ends, of renovating masculinity.
Peace, man.
Renovating Masculinity is a Wise Company production and is hosted by JT McCraw and Anthony Flemons. To get connected with other men looking to build right, join our private Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/renovatingmasculinity and find us online at renovatingmasculinity.com and on Instagram @renovatingmasculinity.